Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, dear friends, and welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. We've had all kinds of changes in our locations over recent times. Some are less than satisfactory and some more than, and gratefully, we are in a form of the latter at the moment. We're hovering over the Atlantic Ocean and welcoming the approach of spring, which seems to be coming about with real force since we arrived here, and much earlier than one might expect in any case, since March 21st is as much just a date on the calendar as it is any real demarcation point between two seasons. Sometimes one doesn't see any good weather until May. This appears to be one of those years where things come earlier than at other times. I wonder if that applies to everything. Let us hope the cosmos is more selective in that regard, because there are some things we would rather not come at all, early or late. Never would be best. The political circus is in full rut, some kind of bacchanalian festival of conspicuous excess. Billions and billions of dollars are being devoted to an industry of lies which more resemble beauty contests than anything else, and there is not a beauty among them. They trot out onto the stage in a combination of burlesque and the old soft shoe. It's vaudeville night at the strip club, but no one strips. They just put on more clothes and more colorful masks, and while they seek to present both gentility and strength, they possess neither, and some of them are the very antitheses of these qualities. It's sham and pretense, run amok, and there is no possibility of improvement among the lot. They promise the world while fully in the service of those who pervert it at every turn. I'd like to think there might be trustworthy leaders among us, somewhere, but even if there are, the potential for them to rise into some position of greater service is rather less than slim and none, given the state of the process at this time. Whoever it is that is printing and allocating the money is making the determination of who fills the empty suits that continue to remain empty regardless of being filled. It takes a special kind of person to live without conscience and to lie without conscience. These we seem to be able to find among us in a never-ending supply. It's always a matter of whether one's ambition is greater than their scruples, especially when one's scruples are an inhibitor of their ambitions. Should they actually have any. This is a crucial crux in a person's existence. It is a special fork in the road, and once one has made their choice, everything they pass on the road taken comes to represent something that corroborates their belief in the choices they made. As a result, one can no longer determine right from wrong and good from bad. These are only to be seen as expediencies and hindrances. If it expedites one's agenda, it's good. If it hinders it, it is bad. Cosmically, this sort of reasoning is one that is out of whack and will be adjusted cosmically at some point. Everything in the phenomenological universe is subject to laws. A cow, a cloud, a mountain, or an ocean, all are subject to laws and behave according to laws. They come and go under the reign of laws. Even if they seem to go on forever, none of them do. We exist according to laws, and only some of these are more commonly known. We seem to be being born and growing up, then growing out, and then departing to some mysterious locations outside of our ken. Some say these are not locations or beyond the one we presently find ourselves in, or that there are no locations beyond the ones we find ourselves in. And some say there are, but they differ among themselves as to what they are. Certainly there are some among us who have a more clear idea of what lies beyond this mortal realm, but they are for the most part silent. There's an old folktale that says something to the effect that when we are born, we know the secret of life, and then an angel comes and presses his finger above our lips, creating the cleft that exists there below our noses, and this renders us silent to speak upon the matter. I'm probably not getting this right, but it's enough to communicate the idea that we are seeking to communicate. One might well ask, why is there all this mystery about life and whatever lies beyond, as well as whatever it was we had been resident in previously before we appeared in the flesh? Many great minds, as well as many lesser minds, have pondered this enigma over time. And what separates great minds from lesser minds is often what lies beyond their pondering. What motivates one to question these things that seem to lie beyond the grasp of our minds? You have to wonder, what drives us? What are we after? Do we want to know merely in order to know, or do we seek to know in order to twist what we find into one form or another of personal profit? I believe that everything that can be known is in the possession of certain guardians, and it is these that one must impress in order to convince them to allow us to know these things. Well, it's the same with those details that some seek after, which confer upon them the ability to manipulate and rule over their fellows. And it is to be presumed that all knowledge, both good and evil, comes at a cost, even if that cost is only the price of experience. We all suffer in this world, but what is it that we suffer for? That is the key question that everyone must answer for themselves. What am I after? And is it worth the fee of what I am going through to get it? How long can I keep it? That's another question one should ask. What is the value of something that is fleeting? So many people base the larger portion of what they do upon some temporary advantage that they think they have. Personally, I would rather depend on something I cannot lose, and which transcends the limitations of birth and death, one's age, and the changing postures of one's position in life. For me, everything seems to turn into some kind of test of my values and aspirations. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Not bad enough. Or maybe you do want it bad enough, and as we have often said around here, you can acquire or attain most anything if you want it more than anything else. One needs to keep in mind that whatever life you find yourself in, it is a manifestation of unrealized dreams and desires, as well as notes that have come due from other times. It amuses me when people argue against reincarnation or go around saying things like, well, you only live once. Where do they get that from? Any careful observation of life and its environments and cycles cannot fail to result in a belief in reincarnation. The truth is that the body of the public is as shallow as the times in which they live. They are at the whim and mercy of these periods and locations they live in, and all of it is for the purpose of demonstration on a vast scale. Human life becomes mere ciphers in the passage of time, no more than falling leaves. I posted a link recently where it is said that over 60% of what people eat is junk. Once again, people take as true certain features that might be true at one point and are decidedly not true at another. When one is young, they think they can eat anything with impunity. Youth grants a certain resistance against the impact of bad diet. This does not continue later in life, and these days it often does not even sustain itself through their youth, as the epidemic of diabetes and other health problems clearly demonstrates. But convenience is a strong imperative. I love preparing food, and I don't care if it takes a certain amount of time to accomplish it. The food is not only far more nourishing and sustaining than the crap that can be snatched and eaten with little trouble, but it also tastes far better, too. I rarely come out of a restaurant feeling better than I did before I went in. Subsequently, I seldom go into a restaurant. Conversely, I seldom come out of a home-cooked meal feeling worse than I did going in. People think... excuse me. People think someone or another out of this recent crop of bombastic morons is going to be elected and serve in their interests. This is very unlikely. They are already serving other interests that go contrary to the needs and desires of the public that they were ostensibly elected to represent. It's a game, and you lose before the game even begins. There is a delusion that exists across wide reaches that serving the marketplace results in a benefit for everyone. It is the same argument made for free trade legislations and tax breaks that are supposed to result in a trickling down of profits for every level of society. You see people only a few steps away from homelessness and penury who are intensely resistant to the state of those who are on welfare or using food stamps. They tell themselves that this will never happen to them, but they are deceiving themselves. The way the system is presently set up, the rich get ever more rich, and the poor are squeezed in a tightening vise. This has happened in many times and places other than the one we are in. Back in the turn of the last century, there was a philosophy going on that was called the Gospel of Wealth. The meaning of it was that God smiled upon the fortunate, and they deserved everything they had, and that God had willed it, just as God had willed that the poor should be poor, and remain so, and that they deserved this too. Well, in truth, at a certain level of understanding, this might be somewhat a reality because of the laws of karma. It could also be that those once rich are now poor, and those who were once poor are now rich. But this is simplistic. There is a lot more to it. It is like all those various sizes of gears in a sophisticated watch that turn at different speeds and for different purposes, but the watch we are talking about here has far more gears than any wristwatch known, and it encircles a bigger wrist than any we have ever seen, however invisible it may be. The ineffable is composed of everything and everyone, and is yet apart from it at the same time. All of us together make up the body of God. We are each of us a microcosm that reflects the macrocosm. Very few of us accurately reflected because of the illusion of our being in the possession of a separate and individual mind. There is only one mind, and we all share in it. Telepathy is like ordinary conversation for those who are viscerally aware of the singularity of mind. People can complicate and obfuscate with intellectual arguments about the existence of this and the existence of that and the meaning of this and the meaning of that, but it is no more than the wind that carries the disappearing sounds of all the mundane and pedestrian industries of nature and humanity. It is as Shakespeare said, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. I don't know if I've personally gotten anywhere with all of my dedication to the invisible and my inconsistent efforts to live up to the standards that I believe are what are required of us, but I can't help but continue at this point because I have come too far to turn back. You never know whether or not any of what you are searching for is right around the corner. You can feel a million miles away from your objective, which may also be hidden behind a mist of false identifications, only to find that the gulf you thought was separating you from the object of your quest was only as wide as your fear. It was a million miles of fear projected into a distance that did not exist. Regardless of the truth of any of this, I have come to one unshakable conclusion. You cannot proceed past a certain point without help. It doesn't matter what direction you are going in, you will need help. On the other hand, help comes from those who have chosen to be the true and honorable servants of humanity in pursuit of itself. On the other hand, help comes from those who want to possess you for their own purposes. You might say that after a fashion, this is true of both sides of the equation, but one of them is selfless and only wishes to bring you to the same understanding of the source of all possible joy and bliss that they themselves have. In times of darkness, the agents of darkness are the more visible among us. This has nothing to do with diminishing the impact of those less visible. That they are not so readily seen does not lessen the effect of their influence upon those so disposed to receive it. Maybe I'm wrong about these things, and maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm partially some percentage of both. All I can say is that these are the things I have found to be true so far, and I'm prepared to adjust my perspective the moment I discover or am shown any error in my perceptions and understandings. Well, my friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast yet again, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In betwixt times, I pray that you will each of you find what it is that you seek, and that it will bring you joy and peace sufficient to the price of your struggles to acquire them. That said, much love, Lady Nature. Hare Krishna. Bismillah Irrahman Irrahim. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Om Amitabha. Greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and... Haru! Not my best arous this evening. Be well, my friends.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIG Radio Network of Stations.